levels of intimacy with Him. It's a continual process. And I don't know about you, but over the last few weeks, I've really been challenged and transformed by the preaching of the Word and in our Follow Jesus series. So we're going to continue that today, like Corey mentioned. But to quickly introduce myself, in case you're new with us today, as I catch my breath and as we transition into this time. So my name is Becca Sly, and I'm married to JJ, daughter-in-law to Pastor Carl and Jackie, little sister to Corey. I'm grateful to be here today. You know, I haven't preached, I'll be honest, in a while. It's been a hot minute. And Jesus and I were talking about that this week. And I was like, Lord, I'm real excited about this, but I need you to tell me that we got this. You know, you and me, like, we can do this thing together still. And he said, well, do you still have me? I said, well, yeah, of course. He said, well, let's go, girl, come on. So Christ is enough for me this morning, and he's enough for you with whatever you're going through. Travis, that was an awesome word. Thank you. So follow Jesus. We're devoting October, November, and December to breaking down the three parts of our mission to follow Jesus, cultivate relationships, and change the world. So we have two more weeks in this series of following Jesus. And again, we've covered a lot, but like I already mentioned, the beautiful thing is there's still so much more that God wants to reveal. We could stay on follow Jesus for the rest of the year, and he would continue to reveal new things to us. But I believe the Lord gave me a word for today, and I'm going to do my best through the power of the Holy Spirit in me, of course, to deliver it to you in the way that he showed it to me, because it completely changed my life. It transformed me this week, the power of his word. And I really believe when something happens in you personally and privately, like, that's the best way that then you can share it publicly, because it just is so close to your heart. And so as we get started, let's just pray one more time. Lord, we thank you so much for your presence, for the power of your Holy Spirit, for the way that you've already moved upon our hearts. Lord, the people, we come for the people, we come for the food, but ultimately we come for you. Like, we show up here because we need a helper, and we're here to encounter you, to receive a fresh word from you, so that we can be changed and transformed, so that we can learn how to better follow you as your disciple. So, Lord, speak through me today. Come and have your way in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Okay, so JJ and I were on our way home from South Carolina, I don't know, the week before last, and we were pulling a trailer. And about halfway through our trip, the sky started to get darker. And as the twists and the turns in the road started to increase, so did my blood pressure. So we're going over this mountain and we're pulling this trailer. And I started noticing these bright yellow directional arrows, like, hugging the curves of the road. And what I noticed was that they were becoming more frequent and more often and more obvious, when just an hour prior, they went unnoticeable. And I started seeing things like increased curves ahead, slow down, authorized vehicles only. And it was in our black Ford Expedition pulling that red cargo trailer over that blessed mountain. Thank you, Lord, for getting us here. That I heard the Lord whisper to me, Becca, that's what it's like when you learn to follow me. That I go before you. That I warn you of what's to come, that I show you the right way, that I keep you on the right path. When you learn to follow me, I invite you on a journey with me. And that word journey really stuck out to me. And I was like, well, yeah, that's certainly what it is, a journey of following Jesus. It's a life of ups and downs, of twists and turns, of potholes and bumps, of hard miles, exhausting miles, miles where you just want to throw in the towel, maybe some easier miles, lots of the unexpected. It's a journey. You know, earlier, I had to laugh when I was thinking about this. Earlier on that same ride home, before it got dark and twisty, we were talking with Corey and Travis, and they were on their way home from a trip, and they said, yeah, we're actually just stopped right here in the middle of traffic. Just stopped. We're getting ready to go on a nature walk with the kids. The unexpected, it happens in life. And as each mile passed, I began thinking about journeying and about all those road signs, and I found myself focusing on the disciples, Jesus's first followers. You know, those 12 wealthy, right, well-known religious scholars, the ones who were chosen because they had proved that their faith was solid and never wavered. That's a joke. That's not who we chose. Let's try those 12 average, ordinary men who were living their lives, working businesses, collecting taxes, fishermen on the sea. They were messing up left and right. They were normal human flesh, doing their best to make it through each day. Can anyone relate? We learn in Mark 3, 13 through 19, it says, Jesus went up on a mountainside and he called to them those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that they might send, and he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he later gave the name Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, another James, Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas. These were the men that would be with Jesus during his ministry here on earth. They would witness firsthand the wonderful things he would do. They would bear witness to others that he was the Son of God. They would be given royal priesthood authority to preach the gospel, to heal the sick. And all of the thoughts about the journey on the way home and the disciples, I started thinking about how he had to encounter each one of these disciples. Like, what did that look like for Jesus to actually encounter these disciples? Like, did he just, like, show up? Like, on the road, did he just invite them? Like, what were the details? And I found myself just hungry to learn more. And while I'd love to share about each of the disciples and how Jesus encountered them and all the takeaways that I've received while preparing, for time's sake, I'll stick to four today. Given the opportunity, I will note I do see a part two and potentially a part three to this series, because we only are going to touch on four of the disciples. But we're going to start with Simon. So we're going to talk about four disciples, and we're going to have four takeaways of what God showed me when he encountered these four disciples. So we're going to start with Simon, who later would be called Peter. So to get us started here, I want to roll this clip.
My brother.
Follow me. So the first thing that we're going to talk about today, if you're taking notes, that God showed me through the calling of his disciples, this first one being Simon, we'll now call him Peter, is that in order to follow Jesus, we must, number one, lament. We must lament. So lament, the word lament, can take on lots of different meanings. We lament by telling of our frustrations. We have a lamenting session with our spouse, with God. It can mean an expression of deep grief or sorrow. But for the sake of today, I want to talk about lamenting over our sin. Showing that we recognize our sin. Acknowledging that this does not feel good. And making the decision to turn from it. So my question for us today, and this is what everything I ask you, the Lord has asked me this week. I'll just go ahead and say that. Does the sin in your life grieve your heart? Do you cry out to God to change you? Those who never lament over their sin, I believe, do not really understand the power that that sin has over them. The enemy is a deceiver, my friends. Our sin is powerful, and it's what separates us from God. So following Jesus requires daily repentance. Simon, Peter, once he recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, he fell to his knees, and he asked for forgiveness. He said, Lord, I haven't believed. Lord, I have this. Lord, I have that. I'm sorry. I'm not worthy. We see in 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. God designed us to feel remorse for our sins. That's how he designed us, in order to produce repentance in our hearts that actually leads us to victory. And I believe that those of us who aren't concerned about the sin in our life, you know, it's like just kind of casual, we're never going to be able to fully appreciate a Savior. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Jesus Christ. In other words, God put all the wrong on Jesus, who never did wrong, so we could be made right with God. That's huge. Like, that is major, but it doesn't carry much weight if we don't think that our sin is a big deal. Like, it's not, that doesn't really mean anything. And so if we're not examining our lives, lamenting over the sin that's separating us from God, repenting of those sins, and actively turning and adjusting our lives, friends, we're not truly following Jesus. Because at that point, our life is still all about ourselves, and we're not willing to make any changes. We have no sensitivity to sin or conviction or darkness. It doesn't affect us. And maybe you're in here thinking, well, I really don't sin. Like, I'm a good person. Like, I don't kill. I don't steal. Like, I'm nice. I'm helpful. I don't cheat. I'll read you what the Bible says in 1 John 1:8. He says, Jesus says, if you claim to be without sin, you deceive yourselves and the truth is not in you. We're all sinners. It's okay. It's okay. I sin, you sin, we all sin. Okay? So let's make it a point to recognize our sin, to be sensitive to our sin, and to lament over our sin. Why does God want us to do that? Because he doesn't want us to stay stuck. He doesn't want us to live a life of bondage and separation from him. He has a life of freedom, like Corey was talking about, freedom in Christ. He wants us to be set free. So I'd like to finish up this little chat about lamenting and Peter by saying that we would later find the same Peter who fell on his knees in lament and repentance in Acts, when he was actually the one preaching to the crowds. He was the main spokesperson. It was the day of Pentecost, and he's bringing explanation to the crowds about what's happening. You know, there was tongues of fire. There was all the different languages.
And so he's preaching and reassuring the crowds, and the Bible says in Acts 2:37 that Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they asked him, well, Peter, what do we do? What do you think he told them? He replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. The same Peter who fell at the feet of Jesus was then preaching to the masses on the day of Pentecost. We must examine our hearts daily. We must lament over our sins, ask forgiveness, and turn. So point number one, in order to follow Jesus, we must lament. Next, we're going to take a look at Nathanael. This might be my favorite. They're all my favorite, but this one's really powerful. Let's take a look at Nathanael.
This is a good night. You know who's standing beside you there? This is my friend, Nathanael.
Yes, the truth teller.
I'm sorry. Man is often deceitful. And Israel began with Jacob. Yes. But on the great of you, my Israelite, the home of Israel, the seed.
So what isn't shown in this clip, and by the way, I know all of y'all are like, I want to go watch that whole series. So these are from The Chosen, which I do have a couple ideas about maybe some things we could do together as a church body here. I was binging it all week. But what isn't shown in this clip is what happened in a prior clip when Nathanael's lowest point in life found him under a fig tree, crying out to Jesus to hear him, begging for a greater purpose in his life. The fig tree was significant. It was a sacred place of prayer and meditation. It was a place of safety and security, a place of longing for the Messiah. And that's what we found, that's what we find Nathanael doing in this other clip. He was crying out to God, do you see me? Do not hide your face from me, O Lord. And today I'm here to tell someone, maybe many of you, that Jesus wants to meet you under that fig tree. And he's telling us the second thing that we need to do in order to follow Jesus is look up. We need to lament, and then we need to look up. We need to find ourselves under that fig tree, whatever that looks like for you, in that place of peace and safety, because it's there where he has rest and renewal for your soul. You know, at one point on the way home from that trip, when we were pulling that trailer, JJ said, Becca, look over there at that rest stop. I had never seen, I mean, I've seen trucks parked at a rest stop, but there were hundreds of trucks at this rest stop. And so, you know, we chatted about it a little bit and we talked about how they were sleeping. Of course, they can only travel for so long before they need to stop and take a break and rest. And sometimes we need to stop and take a break and sit under the tree and rest and allow Jesus to sit with us and minister to us. But we have to be willing to stop and slow down and spend that quiet time with him and not miss it, because oftentimes we miss it and he says, well, you're exhausted, but I had an exit for you like 5 miles ago. Like I had a sign there and I said rest area, like the fig tree was right there, and you just sped on past because you weren't looking for me. You weren't taking the time to be sensitive to what I was doing. Isaiah 30:15 says, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, in repentance, we've heard that word so far, and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Or what about Psalm 34:5? I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him, are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. That's actually Psalm 34:5-6. So for whoever is going through a stormy season, like Nathaniel, you'll have to go watch this clip, but, you know, Nathaniel, I'm a failure. My life is a failure. You know, whatever it is for you, my business is failing. I'm failing at home. God, I thought I knew you. God, I thought you were leading me. God, where are you? This is what the Lord is instructing you to do. Take the rest, sit under the fig tree, cry out to God, and look up. Because the Bible tells us that our strength and our help comes from the Lord, that to lift up our eyes to the mountains where our help comes from. And church, I feel like the Lord told me this week as well, that our history, what we've been through, the things that Nathaniel went through, the things that we're going through, our history doesn't define destiny. What we've been through doesn't have to define where we're going. And so we can tell the devil, you might have meant this in my life for evil, but I tell you one thing, devil, I am fully convinced that the Lord is going to take everything that you meant for evil, he's going to turn it around for my good, and he's not just going to stop there, but he's actually going to redeem it 100-fold, and then it's going to be a part of my testimony. And my Bible says that I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. And that's the same for each of us. So whatever you're going through, whatever it is, you can look up. You can find that place of safety and security and inner peace, and then you can take him at his word. He is going to work all things together for your good. He's going to work it all together. What Jesus did for you is bigger than what is happening to you. What he did for us is bigger than anything that's happening to us. This is temporary. What he did is eternal. So in order to follow Jesus, we must look up. Just like he heard Nathaniel, he will hear you. Just like he redeemed Nathaniel, he will do the same for you. In order to follow Jesus, we must lament. We must, secondly, look up. Are y'all ready for the third? You think it's going to be another L? You're smart. All right, we're going to take a look at Matthew.
Mother and son of town like here should be proud. She's ashamed of that news and tell her that God gave me against God. Next, you're good at something. You found a way to make a living doing it. Assassin. It's been nice to live in the world since I've been in the same world, Matthew. Next, besides, what else are you going to do with a mind like yours?
Matthew. Matthew, son of Matthews.
Yes.
Follow me.
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh. What do you want? You want me to join you?
Keep moving, street preacher.
You have any idea what this guy's now? Yes, no?
Yes.
In order to follow Jesus, we must leave. What are we leaving, Becca? Well, we're leaving our security, our identity, our comfort, our old mindsets. Wow, it's a lot, right? It's a lot. But also, you know what else is a lot? Staying stuck. That's a lot, too. Going round and round the same mountain when God is giving you an exit. Seems like a lot, but that's just because it's 100% opposite of the things that we're taught and exposed to in the world. See, in the world, it's all about rank. It's all about hustle. It's all about more climbing up the ladder, advancement, more success. In the case of Matthew, it doesn't matter if you're a crooked tax collector, as long as you're comfortable. Here we see a place called Capernaum. Matthew, he's in his tax booth. He was collecting duties on imported goods, in case you don't know much about him. Upon the Roman Empire's system, Matthew would have paid all the taxes in advance, and then he collected from the citizens and travelers to reimburse himself. But tax collectors were notoriously corrupt because they received far and above what was owed to ensure a personal profit. So that's how it worked. So that's what he was doing. Matthew displayed one of the most radically changed lives in the Bible in response to an invitation from Jesus. He did not hesitate. He did not look back. He left behind a life of wealth and security for poverty and uncertainty. He abandoned the pleasures of this world for the promise of eternal kingdom mindset. Ultimately, what Jesus required of his followers and what he's requiring of us is a willingness to give up everything, to leave everything if he were to ask us. Everything. To leave. It's radical. In Luke 18, we read where Peter says, "We have left all we have to follow you." Jesus himself put it in very stark terms when he said in Luke 9:23 that if anyone wanted to follow him, you all know the passage, right? What do we have to do? We have to deny ourselves. We have to take up our cross. What does that mean? to take up our cross. In other words, they, the disciples, and we need to be prepared to die for him. That's what it means to take up our own cross, to leave it all. It's radical. I know. It's crazy. But that's what his word says. For some, their allegiance to Christ resulted in their being killed. And yet, what Jesus asked of his disciples wasn't more than what he was willing to do himself. What he asked of his disciples wasn't anything different than he was willing to do himself, as he demonstrated when he freely gave his own life on the cross as a sacrifice for human sin. It cannot get more clear than in Luke 14:33, those who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Crooked tax collector to gospel writer and follower of Jesus. Money, fame, power, rank, status, it will never compare. It will never compare with being a true follower of Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with working hard and living out our dreams. I mean, we have a business. We work hard, but it's not our first priority. And if Jesus said to walk away from it all, I would do it. And so those are the types of questions that we need to be asking ourselves is, if you asked me to leave this, that, or the other behind, would I do it? Or is my security so wrapped up in that? The Bible tells us to not lay up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and thieves don't break in. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. This is all straight out of the word. Philippians 4:19, my God is the one who supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so in order to follow Jesus, we must first lament. We must look up. And we must be willing to leave our security, our identity, our mindsets, our comfort, our jobs, whatever it is, if the Lord directs us to do that. In order to follow Jesus, we must leave. So that was Matthew. All right, we have one more. Lastly, we're going to take a look at the other Simon. So one more clip here.
Why, Jesse? Why am I going to tell everyone? That man Simon has been speaking to me for 38 years, a long time. And how else would I get your attention? My attention? Your order bring you to be feared, no?
No Lord but God, to the death.
But I didn't know, brother. It's not the last of the tagline that goes.
You are Mr. Challenge.
Yes.
Preparing something to share with the world.
sight would have to be enough. No one buys their way into our group because of special skills, Simon.
Didn't see that coming, did ya? So good. In order to follow Jesus, we must lose. You might think it's the same thing as the previous one, but it's actually very, very different. Leave and lose. For lose, we must lose our earthly skill sets, our tools, our own strength, our own power, and be completely dependent on His strength and His power. That's what it looks like to follow Jesus. It was in that initial moment of getting on the road last week and putting into the GPS our, you know, our home address, and that I had my first of what was to be many thoughts on the way home about this Following Jesus series. But I was thinking, isn't it amazing how we can follow lines on a road? We can follow, you know, man-made lines. We can follow, in our case, an Australian accent on a GPS. Like, we just fully, like, trust that it's going to get us to our destination. We sure can put our trust in some interesting, earthly, man-made things. But this is what he said when he summoned the 12 and began to send them out. He said, he instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey. He didn't tell them to load up their bags, get all their weapons. He said, take nothing for your journey. Except a staff, but don't take bread, a bag, money, change of clothes. Why? Because it's not by might, nor by power, but it's by His Spirit. And when we're walking out this life as followers of Christ, we do nothing by our own might, by our own power, but it's by His Spirit in us. See, God isn't looking for our accomplishments and our accolades and all of our skills. Although He's created us and we all have our own gifts, misunderstand. I'm simply saying that He's looking for our availability. He's more concerned with our availability than He is with any sort of accomplishments or accolades that we could present to Him, any sort of swords or weapons that we could present to Him. Psalm 18:32, it is God who arms me with strength and makes the perfect way. The things that got us where we are not the things that will get us to where we're going, like we see with Simon here. He was proud of that dagger. But Jesus said, that might have gotten you this far, but we're about to go to a whole nother level. Chuck that thing right into the water. Remember, He tells us that we will do even greater works than He did. Even greater works. And that's going to require a greater dependency, way beyond anything that we could come up with on our own. Matthew 19:26, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Not any weapons that we carry, but the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the best weapon. That's the strongest weapon that we could ever carry. In order to follow Jesus, we must lament, we must look up, we must leave, and we must lose. We must lose our attachment to our own strength, to the strength we find in the world, and we must really learn how to operate in His power. That's what it looks like to follow Jesus. And so the videos that we watched, you know, I want to make sure that I mention, while they, you know, were pretty, it's like, oh, wow, they just followed Jesus. Like, did they have doubts? Like, did they ever question? Let's not forget, hey, boys, we're going to go feed the 5,000 today. And they're like, oh, what? Hey, boys, we're going to go cast out some demons, right? They were flesh. They had their doubts. It's okay. If we have our doubts, God can still work with. He is not asking us, who said it earlier? He's not asking us to be perfect.
without fault. Again, he's asking for our availability so that he can show himself great, not so that we can become great or famous, but that he can. And I'm convinced now more than ever that we can relate to the disciples. Watching these videos and processing all this week, I'm like, oh, wow, I can relate to them. They were flesh. They had shortcomings and temptations. They had humor. They argued. They experienced both times of triumph, times of hardship. Jesus chose his followers from among the foolish, the ordinary, the shameful things of the world. Listen to this. In order to show that the success of the gospel was completely the work of God and not of man. I'm going to say it again. Jesus chose his followers from among the foolish, ordinary, and shameful things of the world in order to show that the success of the gospel was completely the work of God and not of man. Studying the disciples led me to think about my own life as a follower of Christ, the miles and miles of journeying I've had in my short 37 years. So I pose the same questions today, the questions that the Lord laid on my heart. I'm going to ask them to you today. Number one, has the sin in our life left us restless and unpleased? Does it bother us that we sin? Like Simon, are we genuinely sorry? Are we repenting? Has it left us in a place of lamenting and turning from our ways? The second question is, have we looked up to him? Have I allowed him to minister to the broken, bruised, and battered places of my heart like we saw with Nathaniel? Three, have I left the comforts and complacency of my life like Matthew to pursue his greater will? Matthew said goodbye to his identity as a rich tax collector to radically follow Jesus. And lastly, like Simon, have I lost or let go of my attachment to my own skills, my earthly tools, my pride, to trust that everything I have, I find in Jesus. Everything I need for this journey, I find in Jesus. See, sometimes God takes us on a journey that we don't know we needed to bring us everything we've ever wanted. Sometimes he takes us on a journey that we didn't know we needed to actually bring us everything we've ever wanted. And so we're going to conclude our time together today. We've got two more things that I'd like to do. On the night that Jesus was crucified, he shared a special meal with his disciples. The event described several places throughout the gospel is known as the Last Supper. And so I thought it was incredibly appropriate and fitting after talking about the disciples and seeing the ways that Jesus encountered them and walked with them, that we too, as we're journeying with him and allowing him to come and encounter us, that we would share in the Last Supper, share in communion together today as the disciples did. And so we're going to do that. And that meal, Jesus gave bread and wine representing his body and his blood. They were symbols of the new covenant. And he charged his disciples, and he's charging us today to do this in remembrance of him. But first, of course, before we do that, I want to give an invitation. I don't know if there's anybody here at all today who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the first step. Before you can follow him, you have to know him. And so I want to give just a quick moment for you to search your heart. You already know. Probably won't take long. Do you know him or do you not know him? Have you received him into your heart as your Lord and Savior, or do you need to do that? And so we can say a prayer together today, and if that's you and you need to invite him in to your heart, we can do that, and then we're going to share in Holy Communion together. So let's just all bow our heads, and if for the sake of anyone in here that they might be praying this for the first time, you can just all repeat after me. And if this is you and you say it for the first time and you say it from an authentic place, the Lord hears you, and you can know today that I have been saved. I am now walking in a relationship with Jesus. And so you can repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I recognize that I am a sinner, but I can be saved by grace. Thank you for the promise of your word that you have come to redeem and restore mankind. And so today I'm asking that you come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. I acknowledge my sin. I choose to turn from my sin. And I choose to follow you all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul and making me whole. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So if that was you and you prayed that prayer for the first time, today's a good day. Welcome to the family of God. I would love the opportunity to chat with you after the service if you made that decision today. So now I'd like to invite us to share communion together. This is our first time taking communion together as Full Circle Church. It's exciting. We too are all on a journey. Jesus has called each and every one of us to be his disciples, to be his hands and feet on this earth. And we take communion as a way to remember what he did for us. He said, "This is my broken body. This is my shed blood. And every time you partake, do it in remembrance of me." And so I'm going to pray over the elements, and then I have a song, a video that we're going to play. It's just a couple minutes long, but after I pray and we start this video, I'm just going to invite you to make your way up. You can just walk up here, and you can grab the elements. You can take it back to your seat, and I'm going to encourage you to spend a minute reflecting and looking in and examining your heart. The Bible tells us to examine our heart before we take communion and to ask forgiveness of your sins and to ask the Lord to reveal anything in your life that's unpleasing to him. And then you can take the elements individually. And after the song's over, I'm going to come up and I'll close us. And we're actually going to sing one final worship song to kind of seal our time together today. So let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the promise of your word, for the truth of your word. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for encountering us. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to save us. And as we partake in Holy Communion together today, we remember you, Jesus. We remember the sacrifice that you made for us. We thank you for your broken body. We thank you for your shed blood. We ask, Lord, that as we take it and as we remember you, that you would draw us close to your heart today, that you would wash us white as snow. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us. For drawing us near, we give you all the praise and the glory. In your name we pray, amen, amen. So we're gonna play this song and then you are welcome to come up and receive the elements.
Hudson said I said poopy words and he said stupid to me. Mm. Hudson did.
Okay. Yeah, you can get one.
Mm-hmm.
Take it back to your seat, girls.
So Jesus says, I am the way, that's salvation, but he's also the truth and the life. And I want to encourage, I want to encourage anybody in here, I believe there was at least one, that salvation is a one-time decision, but following Jesus is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. So I feel like a lot of the things I shared today were a little heavy. Hopefully they came out in the way that Jesus wanted them to. But we have to take this seriously. We have to take following Jesus seriously. It's not a casual thing. It's not something that we just do on Sundays. It's a lifestyle. And time is limited and time is short. And I just want to encourage us today as we wrap up that we really dive into some of this week even more and ask the Lord about lamenting, about looking up, about leaving, and about losing, and what that looks like for you. This is what the Lord gave me, but I encourage you to ask him what that looks like for you specifically. I do have one more L. It's only two sentences, so don't worry. Today, again, we learned that in order to follow Jesus, we must lament, look up, leave, and lose. And the last L is love. Because it tells us in the Bible, a new commandment I give to you. This is right when they were taking communion with Jesus. Jesus told them, this is the commandment I give to you, that you love one another. This is like right before he was crucified, one of the very last things that he told his disciples. Love one another as I have loved you, that ye also would love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We're recognized as his followers, and as we love one another. So we have a couple minutes before we're technically going to be released and finished. And I had a song that I heard this week, and we're going to end in worship. We're going to end releasing our worship to the Lord as a way to seal everything that he shared with us today. And then we will, at the end of that song, you'll be dismissed. So, Jay, if you'll put that on, I invite you to stand and enter in and really allow the words of this song to minister to your heart.
Eli wants one of those.
He already had one, I think. Did he already have one?
Yeah.
He already had one? Amen. Amen. That's a good one. You might have it on repeat this week. I hope you do. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for encountering us, encouraging us, being the lifter of our heads. Lord, thank you for transforming us from the inside out. I pray a blessing over each and every person, each and every family as they leave. God, may you empower them. May you strengthen them. Strengthen each of us, Lord, to be your followers this week. Speak to us. Reveal the areas of our life that you want to take us to new places. God, may we have a new sensitivity to your spirit as we leave today. Again, thank you, Lord, for all that you did. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Love you, church. You guys are amazing. Feel free to fellowship out in the foyer, and we'll plan to see you next week. Mm-hmm.